Sahanavavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Northern Ocean, Fourth Wave, Chapter 47, then verse 4, 415, page 38. Okay, lack of awareness of Krishna's powers, which cause Shokarati, directed towards Krishna, is not created by ignorance, right? So that they don't know Krishna's powers, therefore they're lamenting when he gets into a difficult situation, right? That's not coming from ignorance, right? That's coming just from their particular rasa, right? However, by the special rasa of heightened prema, this lack of awareness of his powers takes place. Srila Jiva Goswami. What is said is this: Bhagavan, endowed with the nature of God, has his very essence, is the essence of the highest bliss. It is as stated in the fourth canto. Thus, regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities as the Supersoul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.11.30. The Vishnu Purana 6.5.79 states, the word Bhagavan means to possess knowledge, sense power, strength, lordship, influence, and beauty without bad qualities. Though Bhagavan has been defined with six features, there are two general states of Bhagavan, with a form of supreme majesty and with a form of supreme sweetness. Aishvarya, or majesty, means the ability to control by his powers. Realizing that type of Lord, one develops fear and respect for the Lord. Sweetness means producing pleasure through his form, qualities, and pastimes. By realizing sweetness, one attains love for the Lord. Realizing only Brahman, Kevala Sarupa, produces only bliss for the self. Realization of the sweetness, however, covers up that realization, as well as realization of his powers. This is described in the realization of the Kumaras on seeing the Lord. So each one goes up from there. When there's majesty, it covers that Brahman aspect. When there's sweetness, it covers the majesty in Brahman. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change in both the body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.15.43. The following statement of Devaki illustrates covering of the powerful aspect of the Lord. O Madhusudana, because of your appearance, I am becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kamsa. Therefore, please arrange for that sinful Kamsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.29. This realization of sweetness is a most excellent taste or rasa attained through a special type of prema, produced from a sadhana possessing such sweetness of emotions. Therefore, the covering of awareness of the Lord's power by realization of a sweetness is actually the highest type of knowledge. And turning against that sweetness through realization of Brahman is real ignorance. With what that ignorance, how can one attain realization of the sweetness? Right, that's why it's considered a problem, as you turn away from the sweetness towards the Brahman, then that's the most unfortunate state. It means the impersonalist, he's unfortunate because he doesn't know. But if someone knows and turns away from that, that's even worse, right? That's even more of a problem.
Right? Yes. We have seen earlier that out of the six opulence, beauty is the main thing.
Yes.
And then sweetness is one which actually focuses more exclusively on the beauty aspect of the Lord and because of
yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, right. That, and then it had the next was what? Power,
fame,
and
strength.
Strength. That will be the basis of the Aishwarya mood. And then from fame, then expands
knowledge
and renunciation. That becomes the basis of the Brahman. So you see, is that as you have it, all those will be there. But the point is the position eclipses it. Right? Does that make sense? So the knowledge and renunciation, then they render their service, but then those things go down, and then there's the sweetness. It's just the prominence of where it is. The following is the description of Balaram attempting to rescue Krishna. When Lord Balaram heard about these preparations of the inimical kings, and how Lord Krishna had set off alone to steal the bride, he feared that a fight would ensue. Immersed in affection for his brother, he hurried to Kundina with a mighty army consisting of infantry and of soldiers riding on elephants, horses, and chariots. Right? So a full army, all four limbs. Right? So he's thinking like that because of his affection, then it's being covered because he on his own, if we, this is in Dwarka now, right? But when they were in Mathura, Krishna alone would go out with a very small, you know, contingent. And he would kill all of the full Akshahini of Jarasandha. You know, leaving only Jarasandha, and not one of his men would even have a scratch. So they were just there to create the, you know, we're out to here to fight, you know, because if he marches out with a few people, you have that. If he just marches out alone, it doesn't necessarily. That taste is for Parasaram. Sorry?
Also to clap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You know, how you say, bring their picnic basket, you know, set up and all that. And, so the point is he can do it all himself, but it's out of affection that he's not thinking like that. So then he goes also. Because it also creates more fun also, the pastime. If Balaram's there with his army, then he'll take care of the other kings. Well, then Krishna can then deal with Rukmini, right? Because he rides off in the chariot with Rukmini, and then Rukmini comes because all the other kings are fighting with Balaram, and he thinks, hey, they're getting away, so he goes after alone while the other ones. And then when he leaves, it's kind of like, well, we're not fighting for this guy, and so they all stop. And so then you have the fun, then Rukmini can drive the chariot while Krishna fights with Rukmini, you know, so. So that means they learned all the different things. It's just that, you know, if everything's accomplished just by manifesting the feminine nature, why work so hard? Like that. You know, so that's the point. Not that they don't know all those things. It's just, yeah. Similarly, Yudhishthir says, Maharaj Yudhishthir, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot, and army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the Asuras, demons. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of affection for the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:10:32. 4:4:16. Right, so this is all about the lamentation, right? That particular aspect. 4:4:16. Though lamentation appears and becomes intense, it also spreads a condition of undetected happiness, which is difficult to describe. Srila Prabhupada. In devotional service without strong attachment to the Lord, there may sometimes be smiling and other symptoms, but never the stress of lamentation that are symptoms of a devotional service and compassion. The basic principle of this compassion is always ecstatic love. The apprehension of some mishap to Krishna or his beloved queens, as exhibited by Baladev and Yudhishthira, has been explained above. This apprehension is due not exactly to their ignorance of the inconceivable potency of Krishna, but to their intense love for him. This kind of apprehension of some mishap to Krishna, first of all, becomes manifested as an object of lamentation, but gradually it develops into such compassionate, loving ecstasy that it turns to another channel and gives transcendental pleasure. Srila Jiva Goswami. Thus, Ataha, because absorption and sweetness is the cause of lamentation for Krishna, because the presence in the devotee of bliss produced by realizing Krishna, who is composed of bliss, and because of his confidence, either by the nature of his particular prema, or by the assumption that ultimately there will be happiness, that lamentation produces a tendency towards happiness. Okay. However, this is difficult to infer, du ruham, since it is covered by the incidental experience of suffering. Thus, it is hard to describe, kam api. Thus, even in karuna rasa, there is the underlying presence of happiness. Right, so they're mentioning that compassion or that lamentation or that, because it is, they have a relation with Krishna who's bliss, and that rasa is directed towards Krishna who is bliss. There's an underlying flavor of bliss, right? Because the idea is that Krishna should be happy, everything should be nice. That's why there's that compassion or lamentation in connection with Krishna, because you want him to be happy. And so because of that, there's the underlying flavor of happiness. Though it's not something you will necessarily see. You know, you don't have the symptoms of it. So the point being is that all these things in connection with Krishna always give happiness. They always give a transcendental bliss. But it may not be in the form of happiness like we saw before with the six levels of smiling. Right? They won't have that aspect or, you know, some other thing. Right?
Also, it's related to Krishna, there is always that hope that this particular whatever it is seen in a negative light, whether it is a fear or anything, will go off.
Okay,
that inherent hope, it's always different from the material connotation.
Okay, yeah. So it's not that it's lamentation that becomes the flavor. It's a lamentation because, you know, you're hoping that it'll get better. And so you try to make some arrangements that it'll get better. Right? So all those things. Krishna is bliss. You have a blissful relationship with him. Then you're hoping for bliss. And you're making some endeavors so that Krishna will be blissful. Right? So all these things connected to Krishna, it produces an underlying happiness. Yes? Yes.
So basically, shoka doesn't exist on its own. It's in connection with karuna rasa, which is the main thing discussed here. Is that right?
That seems to be here, because it's about that, you know, things are going nicely and you want it to be nice for Krishna. So there is that element of that compassion. So then you're trying to do something, but you're lamenting because, you know, of the situation that's there, but you want Krishna's benefit. So it's all, that's the whole thing, is that nothing stands on its own. Is the clock turning, or it was like that? Or,
huh?
It was like that.
No, it was like 2 minutes past. I just, while arranging, I didn't keep it in proper position.
Uh-huh. A little bit more. Yeah. Thank you. Otherwise, you have to look at it like this. All yeah, get your neck open. Okay. Okay, so that's the end of the fourth wave of the northern section entitled Karuna Bhakti Ras. Right? But Prabhupada's put it together in two chapters, so it's you'll see the change in the number, but now we're getting into Raudra Bhakti.
In relation to this, Bharat Muni explains that all this, why Prabhupada put all this, like, you know, two aspects in one chapter, is because one is the primary, and the next one expands to this one. Like here it says, anger is the main, and then compassion expands through that. And before, heroic is the main, and then Adbhuta Rasa expands through that.
Okay.
So
it's natural. So it's according to the, what do you call it? Yeah, not to Shastra. So you should put that in the footnote at the beginning.
Yeah,
how the two will go together. Yeah.
Even conjugal is the main, and then Hasyaras expands from it.
Okay. Hasya expands from there, but there's also the coward boys. They're totally into Hasya.
Yeah, because according to Bharat Muni, that conjugal is everything, all the five.
Yes, but I'm saying because there they have that aspect of the equalness.
Yes.
Therefore, then it'll have, that's what you mentioned before, is that there's so many similarities between the cowherd boy's position and the gopis because of the equalness. Like that, while servitorship and parental then is going to be above and below, so it has different flavors. But it's still, the friendship is in the category with the servitorship and the parental. And that the way you could say the various symptoms of ecstasy unfold are the same. So therefore they use the same names. While in the conjugal, then it's slightly different, so therefore it has different names. Right? They go up to a certain level and stop while the conjugal goes past. Yes? No? Okay, so then outline of the Raudra Rasa. So in the Vishaya, we have Krishna, we have his friends, those who are, there we have then inattentive, rash, or envious. Enemies, unfriendly to the self, unfriendly to Krishna. And the Ashraya are his friends, so Krishna and the friends' enemies may be the Vishaya, the Ashraya is the friends. Then in the Stai Bhava, then you're going to have, directed towards Krishna's enemies, or towards one's friends, towards superiors, equals, inferiors. And then Rosha, woman's anger against Krishna. 4.5.1. When Krodharati is nourished by the devotee's heart, in the devotee's heart by the bhavas and other elements suitable to himself, it becomes Raudra Bhakti Rasa. Right? Because that's what it's saying, vibhavas and other elements that are suitable, then it becomes that rasa. Because rasa means the combination. Rati is one of the ingredients. Without that, then the others don't have any meaning. Like if you're not hungry, what does it matter what ingredients you have? But when you combine the ingredients, that's where you get taste. So without rati, there won't be rasa. But it's not that the rati is the rasa. It's part of rasa. You know, because you're hungry, you taste. The more hunger, the greater the taste. You know, it's just like you eat something, the first bite is really good, the second bite's good, the third bite's really good, and then after that you spend the whole time trying to find that taste until you're too full to eat anymore. No? Yes?
The example given by, I think, Bharat Muni himself, it's like, rati is like the main vegetable.
Okay.
And all other vibhavas, anubhavas are like the spices added.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Among all,
and so that's when they get taste. Yeah, okay. It's the taste of the vegetable. Nice. That's a good one.
And also in sweets, the other things are the toppings, and this is not like the sweets. Another example. The toppings on the top of sweet, like, those are all vibhavas, anubhavas.
Oh, okay. Just adds to it. Okay. So see. All these things come from the spiritual world.
Among the sweets?
Yeah. Well, you see, it's like, let's say you have rasgulla and like that on top of it, then they'll put kauda or something like that. Sometimes they used to, I don't know, you ever had that before?
Yeah.
They still do. Okay, they put the kauda, because otherwise, some places they don't, or gulabs, you put rose water. You know, something that you add like that. Or then I think we were in Allahabad, and there was a gentleman from Allahabad there. I think we may have been waiting. I don't remember. We were waiting for the train or something, because it's like you have 40 million people trying to leave at one time. You know, there's only so many you'll fit on the train. So, yeah. So at some point, unless we went into town to get supplies or something, but I remember that this gentleman was talking about that when you're eating gulab jamun, then it's really good on its own. But if you eat it with mishti doi, you know, than the two, because the one is the sweet and that fried, and the other one's the sour and the kacha and that together, and then it really makes it, you know. So yeah, like that, you just add. So. Malko with rabri, yeah, or with sweet rice, yeah.
Yeah. Also, the sweet rice is really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Day after.
Sorry?
It's the day after.
Yes. So everyone see.
Before breakfast.
Yes.
So rasa is.
Yes.
Very pleasant,
yeah. So does that make sense? So that's how it's working then. So you have that main thing and then all the things you add to it and it makes it, you know, so everything's like that. That's why we were discussing before. So this explains that, you know, it's like you can eat something and it has the taste, but you put that into a nice environment. Like, you know, you take a sandwich and a few other things like that, sit on your couch and eat it. It's not any different taste than if you go out and sit in the park with a nice thing, put down that, sit with some friends, and the whole thing like that. It gives different taste. So that's the rasa. The other one just has so as you add to it, it gets more. You know, the restaurant, you add in all the different things that are there, and the lights and how it's arranged and everything like that. It just adds to it. So that gives the taste. Because otherwise, as far as the physical, you know, on the tongue taste, it's not going to be any different. Because of the other, then you'll appreciate and everything like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
It's a side point, but once at Govardhan, we were taking prasadam, and one senior devotee pointed out that you watch how people eat, and then you realize how received they are. Just by observation.
I see. Did that person, if you were at the front gate of the palace,
yes,
and you go into the first veranda there, and there's a room directly to the left, would that person stay there? Okay. So they understand rasa, right? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Anything else on... Okay. Okay, 452. There are three Vishayas for Krodharati: Krishna, friendly persons, and unfriendly persons. All types of devotees, such as the Shakis and elderly women, are the Ashrayas for Krodha directed towards Krishna, and for Krodha directed against the friendly or unfriendly. Yes, 453. Shakis' anger at Krishna. The Shakis will manifest anger towards Krishna when their leader experiences great alarm caused by Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. Atyahite means having great fear or danger. Ablative case is Krishna, right? Means the cause is Krishna. Right? Is used with ayahite according to the rule bhi Tranam bhaya hetuhu, with words implying fear and protection from anger, danger. Ablative case is used for the cause of the danger or fear. Panini 1.4.25. Because what they say is this, the case is used, but in an Sanskrit, then you have, in English you call them voices. You have active and passive voice, you know? So it depends. The active means it's directed at the sub. It means how you say. I think it's to do with the subject, and then the passive is to do with the object, and that's as far as they take it. And somehow or another, your computer never likes it if you write in passive case. They always let you know you've just written a sentence in passive, and that you should change it to, you know, assert yourself and be, you know, whatever. No, you don't get that. No, you always write in the active. Yeah. So, but in Sanskrit, then these can be broken down. That you have, yes, these two main aspects. But then it can also be, instead of it just the active, it's passive, directed from the cause or the place. or the sense of possession. Does that make sense? So that I know of it, it's directly the subject or something like that. You know, then that and evocative or something. There's two of them that are considered active, and the other seven are passive. No, so this is just saying that this is in that form, so that's why it's written in that way. No. Okay. 4.5.4. From Vidagdha Madhava. Today we will die. Being afflicted by such great suffering, Krishna cannot stop his cheating smiles. O intelligent Radha, why were you so much in love with the lusty cowherd Krishna, covered with so much deceit? Srila Prabhupada, anger. Yeah, so this thing of that young girl saying, oh, we're going to die, or I died dead, or, you know, stuff like that. It was so good we died, you know, yeah. So we understand where it comes from. Srila Prabhupada, anger. In ecstatic loving service to Krishna in anger, Krishna is always the object. In Vidagdha Madhava, second act, verse 37, Lalita Gopi expressed her anger, which was caused by Krishna, when she addressed Srimati Radharani thus, my dear friend, my inner desires have been polluted. Therefore I shall go to the place of Yamaraj. But I am sorry to see that Krishna has still not given up his smiling over cheating you. I do not know how you could repose all your loving propensities upon this lusty young boy from the neighborhood of the cowherds. Srila Jiva Goswami. On this occasion, Radha was greatly fearful because Krishna put on a show of indifference in order to test her. Right. So anything that's not favorable for the, what did he say? When the leader and the Shakyis, then something goes wrong like that. So these things will go on there because Krishna won't do that with Mother Jashoda. Right? Mother Jashoda, if there's anything, it'll be directed towards the demon or, you know, something else like that. But, yeah. 4.5.5. Anger of old women. Old women become angry with Krishna when they see him associating with women. But the younger, yeah. 4.5.6, right? Because they're in parental rasa, and so therefore he's unmarried, and so then it should go, you know, he should follow the Dharma, do everything nicely. Govardhan's mother, young thief, I see clearly on your chest a woman's shawl. Why are you denying this? People of Raja, hear my shouting. Can you not hear? The son of Nanda has set fire to my son's house. Srila Prabhupada. After seeing Krishna, Jarati sometimes says, oh, you thief of young girls' properties, I can distinctly see the covering garment of my daughter-in-law on your person. Then she cried very loudly, addressing all the residents of Vrindavan, to inform them that this son of King Nanda was setting fire to the household life of her daughter-in-law. Charity, yeah. Because that's the thing is that, how do you say? Yeah, it's just an idea. It means they can say anything and it won't. How do you say? Everything still goes on. You know, man says it's a whole big thing and everyone's got together and have meetings and this and that, but the woman says that then it's not. So it can be said, it can be correct, but things will continue. So there's no big, you know. So it's just that they have, just like children and the older women, they can say whatever they like and it doesn't matter.
Also, that is interesting. Both Jatila and Jarati, they're from the same root, which implies complicated, like,
oh, okay. Oh, from the name.
So they are the one.
But Jarati is in whose household?
Chandravali's mother.
Oh, yeah. This means Govardhan Majumdar. Oh, okay.
Govardhan Mala.
Mala.
Govardhan Majumdar is
the one. Okay. Oh, yes. Govardhan Mala. Okay, yeah, and he's friends with... Yeah, but he's also friends with Abhimanyu and family. So. Aha. So she's the mother-in-law. So she's mother of Govardhan.
Yes, Govardhan
mother-in-law. Okay. Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because they live in one place. They live in Yavat. Okay. Because Nandagaon, that's where Nanda Baba and his group lives, and then Varshana, that's where Rishabhanu Maharaj and his group lives, and then this is the opposing group that's here. No? So this group is all under Govardhan. He's kind of the head of this group. No? Yes? No? Okay.
This Govardhan,
you never really hear him much. He's just referred to it. Because the point is that who... You have the two groups, right? But then when they get married, they marry into the third group, right? And so then they're situated in that area. So all the gopis from Varshana, they marry into the Yavat group, Govardhan's group. Does that make sense? So then you can have more fun. No? Okay. Four, five, seven. Except for the strong Govardhan, husband of Chandravali, all the inhabitants of Braja possess the highest stage of Rati for Govinda. Srila Jiva Goswami. Why would an old woman become angry at Krishna? By evidence of hundreds of descriptions in the Bhagavatam, it is not possible that the inhabitants of Braja were always engaged in serving Krishna favorably, overcoming all obstacles and offering everything had any selfishness. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the coward men, and all the inhabitants of Braja Bhumi. There's no limit to the good fortune, because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman has become their friend. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:32. This verse answers, Govardhan was only the apparent husband of Chandravali. He was somewhat notorious as a cowherd of Kamsa, who came to live in Braja as a stranger. Right? So then we could have that. Therefore, he is excluded from being a devotee in this verse. Other than him, everyone else in Braja had the highest level of prema. The old woman's anger at Krishna indicates that she put on this overt display with the intention of bringing about auspiciousness for Krishna. Right? Right, because then if he's yelling and screaming and nobody cares, then it gives that a flavor. Yeah?
It's the same episode in Dwarka when the mother of Kamsa, she spoke. Okay, we'll give you so much money, and Krishna worked for you, so we, you know, like that. I mean, nobody like that. Yeah. They just continue.
Yeah, yeah. So it just adds a flavor, because that's the whole point. It's like spices. You have the main thing, and this is just different ways of adding spices. Okay. That anger is not without affection or rati for Krishna. This has been explained before. Thus, the other people do not listen, since they have love for Krishna, and the old woman shouts out of apparent anger. It is not that the others would hear her shouting in anger and take it seriously. Right? Because it's Krishna, so even if you say, just like your kid, you know, he comes back from school and all that, and he's, you know, also cute and nice and this, and then somebody, you know, sends a message from the school about how he's doing this and that and everything, you know, and as you're talking on the phone and looking at the kid, they're just smiling, and you just don't care. Right. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just part of the flavor.
Also, Maharaj, in villages, all the old men, they sit on their veranda.
Right, right.
Except for our grandson, all the other boys playing with him, they have to shout at them. It's a rasa, like.
They have to shout at them.
They have to shout at them. Nobody cares. Like, old men, like, shouting. The children, they shout back, and it's like kind of exchange going on. They are, like, satisfied, happy, because if they talk normally, nobody is worried, like. So they have to shout at the boys, and they pay some attention to this place.
Yeah, yeah. But they expect, you know, you to, you know, no one else can shout. You know?
Yeah.
4, 5, 8. There are three types of friendly persons who become objects of anger. Anavahita, inattentive. Sahasi, rash. And irshyu, spiteful. 4, 5, 9. The inattentive person. Those who are responsible for protecting Krishna, but because of being absorbed in some service, become careless in their duties, are called anavahita, inattentive. Srila Jiva Goswami. In protecting Krishna, sometimes a devotee becomes inattentive by mental confusion, caused by his absorption in a bhava relating to Krishna. Right? Because the confusion, then that's one of the abhicharas. The devotee cannot put aside that state, even though it is extremely detrimental for himself and Krishna. This person is called inattentive. An example. Oh, you have fainted. Get up and do not delay uselessly. You think yourself so skillful in teaching your son. Oh, friend, your bound up son is moving between the two broken Arjuna trees. Right. So then it seems like his anger is directed at inattentive. Srila Prabhupada. Similar ecstatic love for Krishna and anger was expressed by Rohini Devi when she heard the roaring sound of the two falling Arjuna trees to which Krishna had been tied. The whole neighborhood proceeded immediately towards the place where the accident had taken place. And Rohini took the opportunity to rebuke Mother Jashoda as follows. You may be very expert in giving lessons to your son by binding him with a rope, but don't you look to see if your son is in a dangerous spot. The trees are falling on the ground, and he is simply loitering there. This expression of Rohini Devi's anger towards Jashoda is an example of ecstatic love and anger caused by Krishna. Right? So it's always going to go back to Krishna. It may be directed at Krishna, we see, or at the devotees, or at the enemies. But the point is Krishna, then it's something Krishna's done, or is involved in, at the devotees, because it's something in connection with Krishna, out of their love for Krishna, something's not being accomplished. Or then the enemies of Krishna's, because it's the object is ultimately Krishna. So it's at somebody else, but it's in relationship to their affection to Krishna. So, Rati, is someone's phone going, getting messages? Or?
No, it's the sound from back there. I'm not sure what it is.
Oh, it sounds just like when a message comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just thinking.
Sound.
Okay. So, the object, as Prabhupada said, is the object is always Krishna. Krishna is always the object. Yeah. Okay, Jiva Goswami. Pandita Manini, thinking yourself learned, hears, means you think you know how to train your son. Right? Pandita, right? Manini, means man, you think, you know, you think you are the pandit. You know? Trutyat means is being broken. Though the breaking took place in the past, the present tense is used. Right? So this is after, it's not that they're happening. But like we said before, present tense is used for anything just immediately past or present. You know, does that make sense? Like, just like, you know, it's you're talking about it. It's going towards a dangerous situation. The danger hasn't happened yet. You know, like, what do you call it? Remember, Soho was telling me about just the rasa they were having with their parents. And they'd be driving them to school, but, you know, somehow or another they started out later than they normally do. So when they get in the car and they're driving, you know, then let's say it takes 20 minutes to get to school, and it's 10 minutes till time to be at school. So when they get in the car, then the child tells the parent, says, "We're going to be late." And then the parent says, "We're not late yet. We have 10 more minutes." So then after 10 minutes, now you can say we're late. You know, so. Yeah, so the present is anything immediately just before or after. So that's why the present tense is used. Because if he says past, then that means long time before. You know, like Trinavarta, that was a long time before. That's past. There's a rule, Vartamana samipye vartamanavat va. Affixes applied for the present tense can be used to indicate action of the past or future, not remote from the present. Right? Panini 33131. Rohini, you know, one thing we should probably do is we should give a footnote of his from Harinamamriti Vyakarana. Because he's written his grammar, but, you know, for the authority, he quotes from Panini. But we should put in a footnote what is his grammatical rule. Yeah. Rohini had gone with Balaram to the house of Upananda on invitation on that day. On hearing the sound of the breaking trees, right, because they're all at home, so they must, you know, they're small at this time. Rohini came to the spot. Seeing that Nanda and others had come there for Krishna, she entered Jashoda's house. These are words of Rohini on entering the house and seeing Jashoda just getting up after fading from fear when she heard the sound of the falling tree. So she's experiencing a static symptom from Krishna, directed as Krishna. But from that, then she's chastising her that, you know, you're being inattentive. You know, you're not, why aren't you going there? Nanda Baba's there, everybody else is there. We were there. We were at someone else's house. You know? But it's all in, but she's inattentive because of some ecstasy connected with Krishna. Right, so here is fainting, like that. That caused the inattentive, or you know, some other thing can cause the inattentiveness. Does that make sense? So everything, all the rasas, are all connected to Krishna. So each one, its whole point is just one comes up, and then there's a reaction to that one, and then a reaction to those, and it just keeps on going. You know, it just keeps on developing and moving around, and so that creates the taste. Does that make sense? So like that, you know, it's just like you're eating something and you eat like that, and then you want to eat that with something else, and then doing that, then something else comes up, and it just moves around. So it just one creates the taste for the next. Does that make sense?
Now the thing is intense here.
Everything's intense, yeah. But the point is there's no one becomes tired. Why do we become tired here? Because we work, and then, you know, there's only so much result. But there, it's just, you know, everything is an endeavor. Everything's result. Everything, you know, everything's perfectly situated. So Satchitananda is in its perfect position. So there's no anxiety or lamentation on the material platform. So that's why there's no desire for liberation. We get tired, so we want to stop the work because we're putting in so much work and, you know, we're not getting this stuff. Now, if you're putting, let's say you go down to, you know, just for an example, to sell something, you know, at Gaur Purnima. And, you know, you take a bunch of things and you expect to sit there all day and maybe sell half of it. But if in the first 5 minutes, you know, it's all going, you don't get tired during that 5 minutes. You know, it's just, it's happening. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing, is because you don't have the material problems. Everything's eternal. The relationship is permanent. Everything, the situation is permanent. You know, the principle, the foundation, right? Means the legs are there. It doesn't mean the arms and don't move. And the torso and the head and all that's interactive, but the legs are there. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore then, everything is permanent. So the transcendental is permanent. And so then you don't have to worry that your endeavors aren't going to have the permanent effect. Does that make sense? Yeah, so therefore the intensity is not a problem. You can go more and more intense. As long as you find the intensity positive, then you can go as long as you, as soon as you run into an obstacle to your sense gratification or to your, you know, whatever, your distinction, adoration, profit, whatever it is, it grows to subtle, then that's when you feel some tired. But if it's going well, then you can go all day. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why you see is that somebody will be in that kind of party mode. And then they can just keep going. But then when something goes wrong and they're not in the limelight anymore and things go down, then they get into ignorance and then they lament. And, you know. But here, because Krishna, because themselves is the center. But when Krishna's the center, you won't have that anxiety. That will never happen. Right? Because Krishna's eternal. Our relationship's eternal. He is Ananda. Why, so as we saw, even seemingly unfavorable emotions, because it's directed towards Krishna for, you know, hoping for his, confident of his benefit, therefore it still gives happiness. So, four, five, 11, the rash person. A person who sends Krishna to a dangerous place, thinking him to be strong, is called sahasi, rash. You know, rash means you do something that it technically shouldn't be done. You know, taking a risk. So someone who takes risks, that's called rash behavior. Right?
Rash driving.
4, 5, 12. Krishna has gone to Talavan on the instructions of his dear friends. Hearing this, Jashoda became staring at the faces of the boys, while her eyebrows moved up and down with a frown. Right? Because they wanted to eat the tall fruits, and so they're the ones that had him go there. And then there's these big demons there, and so now she's upset with the cowherd boys because you guys wanted him to go. That's rash. Why would you go there? These big demons? Everybody knows no one goes there. Right? It's Kamsa's forest. No one goes there. Srila Prabhupada. Once, while Krishna was in the pasturing ground with his cowherd boys, his friends requested him to go to the Talavan forest, where Gardabhasura, a disturbing demon in the shape of an ass, resided. The friends of Krishna wanted to eat the fruit from the forest trees, but they could not go because of fear of the demon. Thus they requested Krishna to go there and kill Gardabhasura. After Krishna did this, they all returned home, and the report of the day's activity perturbed Mother Jashoda, because Krishna had been sent alone into such danger in the Talavan forest. Thus she looked upon the boys with anger. Because right, they'll go back and talk, yeah, we did this, and Krishna Balaram swung the demons up into the tree, and we had so much tall fruit, and, you know, like that, and I was just, what? Yeah. Yeah, so you see, is the change in flavors are because it's centered around a particular person. So them and their rasa, and that being taste, is there. But in another, you know, just like, you know, husband with his friends does something, and for them it's great fun, but when he later tells his wife about it, she's not appreciative because she has her relationship, and so what they do might get in the way of hers. You know, that makes sense. You know, yeah. 4, 5, 13. Spiteful persons. A woman with abundant pride and deep malice. She has enough, plentiful, is called Irshu, spiteful. 4, 5, 14. An example. O Radha, you are agitated by the churning rod of indignation. What shall I say to you? Go away. I am burning up just being near you. Though the peacock feather decorating Krishna's hair was fanning the tips of your toes when he bowed down to you, you are red-faced with anger. Srila Prabhupada. Here's another instance of anger on the part of a friend of Radharani. When Radharani was dissatisfied with the behavior of Krishna and had stopped talking with him, Krishna was very sorry for Radha's great dissatisfaction, and in order to beg forgiveness, he fell down at her lotus feet. But even after this, Radharani was not satisfied, and she did not talk with Krishna. At that time, one of her friends chastised her in the following words. My dear friend, you are allowing yourself to be churned by the rod of dissatisfaction. So what can I say unto you? The only advice I can give you is that you had better leave this scene immediately, because your misbehavior is giving me too much pain. I cannot bear to see your behavior, because even though Krishna's peacock feather has touched your feet, you still appear to be red-faced. The above attitudes of dissatisfaction and anger in devotional service are called irshu. Right, so, yeah. Unfriendly persons. Okay. So that was then, what was that? So that was then, first one was Krishna, and now the friends who are inattentive, rash, or envious. Now we get to the enemies. There are two types of unfriendly persons, those unfriendly to oneself and those unfriendly to Krishna. 4.5.16. Those who act as an obstacle for attaining Krishna are unfriendly to oneself. From 4.5.17. From Uddhava Sandesh. O Akrura, look closely. When you mount your chariot and start to go to Mathura, millions of our life heirs will also depart. O Merciless One, O Akrura, you are cruel, forcibly taking Krishna away from Braja. Do not destroy respect for the Yadu dynasty. Srila Prabhupada. When Akrura was leaving Vrindavan, some of the elderly gopis rebuked him as follows. O son of Gandini, your cruelty is defaming the dynasty of King Yadu. Right, because they're supposed to be very compassionate and, you know, very kind upon the citizens. You are taking Krishna away, keeping us in such a pitiable condition without him. Now, even before you have left, the life air of all the gopis has practically disappeared. Four, five, 18. Those who are enemies of Krishna are called unfriendly to Krishna. An example. Bhima, forcibly placing his left foot, fearful as the punishment of Yama, on the top of Shishupal's crown, kicked him decisively 3 times. This Shishupal had insulted the Lord, whose lotus feet are lit by and worshipped by the rays emanating from the crest jewels of the Vedas, Upanishads. Srila Prabhupada, when Krishna was insulted by Shishupala in the assembly of the Rajasuya Yajna, convened by Maharaj Yudhishthira, there was a great turmoil among the Pandavas and Kurus involving Grandfather Bhishma. At that time, Nakula said with great anger, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the nails of his toes are beautiful, purified by the light emanating from the jeweled helmets of the authorities of the Vedas. He is derided by anyone. I declare herewith as a Pandava, I will kick his helmet with my left foot, and I will strike him with my arrows, which are as good as the Yama Danda, the scepter of Yamaraj. This is an instance of ecstatic love for Krishna and anger. Yeah? 4.5.20. Yeah? In Rauda, it's also because Bhishma had to hold him back. That's why when, you know, we talk about there were 5 people that were strong as 10,000 elephants, they don't count Bhishma. But Bhima couldn't get up. You know, you have a chair. And so he wanted to get up, and Bhishma just put his hand across the chair and grabbed the other arm. You know, and kept on watching. And so Bhima can't get out of the chair. So Bhishma is actually the strongest of anybody. 4.5.21.23. Oh no, excuse me, 4.5.20. In Raudra Bhakti Rasa, the Udipanas for becoming angry are sarcastic laughs, perceptive speaking, deceptive speaking, frowns and disrespect expressed by enemies of Krishna and by friendly persons. The Anubhavas of Raudra Bhakti are wringing the hands, grinding the teeth, reddening of the eyes, biting the lips, deeply contracting the brows, flinging the arms, beating others, silence, hanging the head down, heavy breathing, glancing, and hostility. Cursing, shaking the head, having the edges of the eyes turn pink, frowning, and quivering of the lower lip. All the sattvika bhavas, such as paralysis, manifest. 2.5.24. Typical vyavichari bhavas are avega, jarata, garva, nirveda, moha, chapalya, asuya, augvya, amarsha, and shrama. Srila Prabhupada. In such a transcendental angry mood, sometimes sarcastic marks, unfavorable glances, and insulting words are exhibited. Sometimes there are other symptoms, like rubbing of the two hands. Clacking of the teeth, clamping of the lips, moving of the eyebrows, scratching of the arms, lowering of the head, rapid breathing, uttering of strong words, nodding the head, yellowish in the corners of the eyes and trembling lips. Sometimes the eyes turn red and sometimes they fade. There is sometimes chastisement and sometimes silence. All these symptoms of anger may be divided into two parts, constitutional and unconstitutional, or permanent and temporary symptoms. Sometimes great emotion, bewilderment, pride, frustration, illusion, impotence, jealousy, dexterity, negligence, and signs of hard labor are also manifest as unconstitutional symptoms. In all these humors of ecstatic love, the feeling of anger is accepted as the steady factor. Right? So the anger is the one that's being manifest. And then there may be the various vyavicharis and that are coming up. Right? So that is there, whatever Udipan is there, it may be different ones, whatever the Anubhavas, the vyavicharis, they may be different and varied and combined. But the anger is the steady factor. Right? Because it's directed at Krishna because of that affection for Krishna and a change in a situation in the relationship or something. Right? In Raudra Bhakti Rasa, Krodha Rati is the Stai Bhava. It has three types, Kopa, Manyu, and Rosha. Kopa is anger directed towards enemies. Manyu is directed towards one's friends. Friends are of three types, superior, equal, and inferior. Rosha is a woman's anger directed against Krishna. This actually becomes a vyavichari in Madhurya Rasa. Srila Jiva Goswami. In Madhurya Rasa, between the gopis and Krishna, this anger, rosha, becomes a vyavichari bhava. For the elderly women and the shakis, kopa and manyu become a stai bhava. Okay, which was kopa and manyu. Kopa towards enemies and manyu, directed to one's friends, become a stai bhava. But for the women lovers in Madhura Rasa, anger called rosha, directed to Krishna, does not become a stai bhava in Raudra Rasa. Footnote 11. This is not discussed. Thus it is not discussed here. Among the previously mentioned vyabhichari bhavas, when augriya, ferocity, is prominent, it is directed to enemies. When amarsha, indignation, is prominent, it is directed to friends. When asuya, fault-finding, is prominent, is directed to the lover. Right? So you see is that which is prominent in his day. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.